بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my dear respected brothers and elders So every Thursday inshallah what we'll be doing is after Salat al-Asr, going through a few points from the Ihya Ulumuddin of Imam al-Ghazali. There are many books that one can read in the month of Ramadan to help enhance their Ramadan experience and help them maximize or take maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan. For me personally, I think the best book that one can possibly read is the Fadail al-Ramadan of Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayh, which is part of Fadail al-A'mal. Because he's done it so beautifully, you see. Every other book is either a book of hadith or there's some hadith, some verses and very little explanation. But in Fadail al-Ramadan, he's explained it in so much detail that a person can take maximum benefit from that book. So ideally, I should have been using that book and reading from that book. But I thought, you know, just to make it a bit more interesting and to help me go back to a different book, I'll talk about what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned about fasting. Because Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi subhanallah, he's written this amazing work called the Ihya Ulumuddin. And this work is so unique that one of the great scholars in the past has said that if all of the books in the world were to be destroyed and the Ihya Ulumuddin was to survive, then I would be able to reclaim or rewrite all of the different branches of knowledge just from using Ihya Ulumuddin as a base. It has so much ilm inside of it. And it's the greatest commentary that I was using. Its name is Ithafu Sadat al-Muttaqin by Imam Murtaza al-Zabidi, and it's a massive book to the extent that no one's really worked on it. You know, every other book you have many scholars who work on it to make the best editions of it, but because it's so big and it contains so much ilm, it's very difficult to actually work on that book, and it takes people years, their whole life. You would spend your whole life actually doing work on that book. But anyway, because Imam al-Zabidi has tried to explain Ihya ul-Muddin. Ihya ul-Muddin in and of itself is an ocean, and Imam al-Zabidi, what he's done is also, subhanallah, treasure house that book. So anyway, I've taken a few points from the chapter of fasting. So anyway, in Ihya Ulumuddin, what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi does is, he mentions the spiritual dimensions of worship. We all know about fasting, we all know about salah, we all know about knowledge, we all know about many different things. We know these things are important. But why are they important? How do they spiritually benefit a person? This is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi deals with. You see, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi was a great scholar, and he was based in Baghdad, and he was a great scholar, and he had a very high position till the age of 40. From the age of 32 till the age of 40, he was, you could call, the Shaykh al-Hadith or the senior lecturer in the Nizamiya University, which was the biggest university in Baghdad. People would flock to it from all over the world. However, at the age of 40, he went through this midlife crisis sort of thing, where he thought to himself, I'm teaching and I'm every day at night. And subhanAllah, this man was so talented. Just to give you an example of his talents. In the time of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, there was a serious threat to Islam in the form of Greek philosophy. Greek philosophy was a serious threat to Islam. Why? Because certain Muslim, very intellectual, intelligent scholars had started to translate the works of the Greek philosophers. And after translating the works of the Greek philosophers, they became overwhelmed and awestruck that these philosophers are so knowledgeable, subhanAllah. To the extent that some of them started to say that the knowledge that these philosophers have is not different to the knowledge that the Anbiya alayhimus salam had. It's just a different dimension or a different aspect of it. And they started to say many dangerous things. And many times they would start interpreting the Islamic nusus, the Quran and the Hadith, in the light of Greek philosophy. So the scholars were faced with this serious challenge, Greek philosophy. And all these days the scholars have been learning Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Seerah, you know, Tafsir, all the same, everyone's learned the same sciences. And nobody's ready to deal with this challenge. Imam Ghazali, in 2 years, he mastered Greek philosophy. 2 years. And he said, I did it part-time. I was busy teaching, and when I got some free time, I would just read the works of these Greek philosophers. In 2 years, I understood everything about Greek philosophy, and then he wrote his famous book, which was a refutation against the whole Greek philosophy. And it's called Tahafutul Falasifa, the demolishing the philosophers or destroying the philosophers. One book he wrote. Later the philosopher tried to counter it, but it still stands in history as one of the greatest defenses for Islam against philosophy. So he's a very genius person. At the age of 40, he went through this crisis. I've mastered every single aspect of knowledge of Islam, whether it's knowledge of, you know, so many different sciences I've mastered. However, spiritually, I still feel like I was the person that I always was. I'm not different. And I feel I've not gotten any close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this teaching on a daily basis, I still feel empty. I still feel empty. So what he did was, at the age of 40, he ran away. He ran away. He left Baghdad and he disappeared. His own family did not know where he went. He disappeared. But he did mention later on, he wrote his autobiography, Al-Munqidhu Min Al-Dalal. In there he mentions, I left enough money and all of that for my family that they could get by. However, I left. And for 13 years he disappeared. 13 years. Nobody knew where he went. And where did he go? He said, I traveled. And he said, I met the awliya of Allah Ta'ala. I met the saints, the pious people. And then he went to Damascus, and in the Jami', in the Grand Masjid of Damascus, he would actually keep himself locked in a room on the side of the masjid, and he'd be there all day, all night. He'd come out for namaz and maybe for some food, and then he'd go back in there and he'd be busy with doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his conclusion from his experience of 13 years was that the true ilm, the true knowledge lies with the Sufiya Kiram, the pious people, the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have the true ilm. So when he came back to Baghdad at the age of 53, he didn't want to come back. But the sheikhs that he was visiting and benefiting from, they said to him, oh, Muhammad, his name was Muhammad. And his amazing thing, another amazing point to mention here, his name was Muhammad, but for 15 generations, his father's name was Muhammad, his father's name was Muhammad, his father's name was Muhammad. They mentioned for 15 generations, every single father's son was called Muhammad. So his name was Muhammad, Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali, he's also known as Abu Hamid. So his sheikh said to him, oh, Abu Hamid, you have so much ilm. And you are sitting in this corner, your knowledge is being wasted. You want to do dhikr of Allah and you want to connect with Allah and recognize Allah, and you found true beauty and peace here. We understand. But the people need you. The people need you. You need to go into the middle of the people. And this has happened so many times. This is not one incident. Another famous scholar coming to my mind, Shaykh Kamaluddin Ibn Humam, rahmatullahi alayh. He wrote the famous book, Fathul Qadir. It's a sharah of Hidayah, one of the greatest commentaries in the Hanafi madhab. Again, this, when you read this book, you think this man was an ocean of ilm. He was also like Imam Ghazali. He wanted to go in hiding. He said, I don't want to do anything, have anything to do with people. People destroy my ikhlas. People destroy my ikhlas. Every time I sit in a gathering, I fear that I'm going to be showing off. When I'm speaking, I fear that I'm going to be showing off. Because all of these actions destroy ikhlas. I'd rather sit in private and just do worship of Allah. His sheikhs also said the same thing to him. You may not need the people, you may not want the people, but the people need you. You have to go out there. So Imam Ghazali, his mashayikh, they sent him back. So he said, this is the, when he writes in his autobiography, he says, this is the only reason, only reason I came back at the age of 53. And he changed. And he became such a different person. Every work he wrote, every book he wrote, after returning from this experience, is, subhanAllah, like a treasure chest in itself. Every single book. One simple book, we can even buy it in English. It's advice to, it's called My Beloved Son. So he's advising a student, and this student has said to him, oh my dear Ustad, I've learned all of the different sciences of knowledge. Now I want you to tell me which one is the most important. Which one is the one that I should keep with for my entire life? So he goes into a beautiful explanation in a letter to his disciple, and the khulasa of this is the science of spirituality, the science of the soul. This is what you should hold on to. Everything else, even if it disappears, it doesn't matter, as long as your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong. Because people forget, your memory becomes weak. In the early days, they used to just memorize everything. Hadith, Quran, every science, they would just memorize it. Well, your memory becomes weak to the extent, even an old person, your Quran starts to become weak. Another really beneficial book to read in Ramadan is called the Ramadan of the Pious Elders by Shaykh al-Hadith Mullah Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. Akabir ki Ramadan. In there he mentions about his Shaykh Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. He says, my Shaykh in his old age, in Ramadan, he would recite so much Quran. He would lead the Taraweeh Salah himself. He was over the age of 70. He would lead Taraweeh Salah himself. He would lead Tahajjud Salah. In Awabin, he would read 1.25 juz in Awabin. He would just be reciting so much Quran. We said to him, Shaykh, take it easy. Someone else can lead the Taraweeh Salah. Someone else can do this. You can stand behind them. Because many of the mashayikh, because remember, whether you're leading Taraweeh or whether you're standing in Taraweeh, in the sight of Allah, it's the same thing. You're performing Taraweeh Salah. It's not like the Imam is making more effort or the Muqtadi is making less effort. No. Everybody is making the effort. So one of the great ulama of India, Shaykh al-Hind, one of Mahmud al-Hassan, he was in a hafiz of the Qur'an. But what he would do is from Taraweeh, in Taraweeh Salah, he would stand and one hafiz would come read four juz, four paras of the Qur'an, and he would go. Another hafiz would come read four paras of the Qur'an, he would go. Another hafiz, all night long from Isha till Fajr, till just before Fajr Sahri time, he would stand. And to the extent that the bottom of his feet would become swell up, like the Prophet ﷺ. And when he would see this, he was an old man at that time. His children would say, Shaykh, let's massage your feet. He would say, he'd become so happy. He'd say, Alhamdulillah, this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah is giving me the tawfiq to do this. He wasn't a hafiz, but he would stand in Taraweeh and his students would come, one hafiz, read four juz, all the way till. In one night he would do the entire khatam and more. But he was not reading, he was just listening. Anyway, which point did I go from? So Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharan, rahmatullahi alayhi, in his old age, he recites so much Quran. His student, Shaykh Zakariya, he said, we used to say to him, Shaykh, you're an old man. Please let someone else lead the Taraweeh. Let someone else lead Tahajjud. You can stand behind them. He'd say, no, my memory is becoming weak and I'm feeling it. So everything else, I don't need to bother with. But my Quran, I cannot let a single ayat disappear from my memory. That's why he'd give so much attention. He would not waste his time with anything else, just reciting Quran. So in old age, knowledge disappears. The same Shaykh Zakariya Amtullah, you know, Tariq Jamil from India, from Pakistan, he says, we went to Shaykh Zakariya Amtullah in his old age, and we said, Shaykh, can you please give us ijazah, permission to narrate hadith from you? Shaykh said, what permission can I give you? I'm an old man, I've forgotten everything. Everything I used to know, I don't remember anything. Old age does this. It takes away many, many qualities. So anyway, so Imam Ghazali's student said to him, which branch of knowledge should I hold on to till my dying breath? So in this whole book, he explained how spirituality, tasawwuf, your connection with Allah Ta'ala, your dhikr, adhkar. So when he returned from this journey after 53 years, he wrote this book, Ihya Ulumuddin. So that's why in this book, he wanted to speak against the people who just keep everything very dry. The rulings of Islam, these are the rulings, that's it. Beyond that, he wanted people to enjoy ibadat. That when you do ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to enjoy the ibadat. You need to understand what benefit you are supposed to be taking from each act of worship. Whether it's tilawa of Quran, recitation of Quran, whether it's dhikr of Allah, whether it's your salah, whether it's fasting, from each act of worship, what does Allah ta'ala want you to acquire from that? I just think I have to fast because Allah wants me to. I fast and off I go. What does Allah Ta'ala want for me to develop into due to my fasting and due to my tilawat, due to my salah? He discusses this in this book. So anyway, I've gone over the time that I've allocated for myself. Inshallah, what I'll do is I'll make a start on this. Inshallah, next. I've given a bit of background about who Imam Ghazali was. Hopefully, this has also been beneficial. And there are many books that we ourselves should read as well. Fadail al-Ramadan of Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya Sarantullah is amazing. We should all, on a daily basis, read a little bit from it. Akabir ki Ramadan, I've already read that book. Every Ramadan, I try and read that book. Just inspires me, subhanAllah. You know, the Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah, his father, Mawlana Yahya Sahab. Mawlana Yahya Sahab would work in a bookshop. So he mentioned my father, Mawlana Yahya, would work in a bookshop. He said every day he would complete so many khatams of the Quran. He said he'd be doing the parcels, packaging, and his mouth would not stop. Tilawa, tilawa, and he was such a strong hafiz. And what people would do to Mawlana Yahya Sahib, they say, you know what, we do Taraweeh, it's so simple. One juz. Nowadays, mashallah, we do one juz, everybody's going home nice and easy, having the talking gupshup and then going and doing the sahri. These mashayikh, they would try and do as many juz in tilawa till their feet gave up, till their legs gave up. Because this is the whole maqsad. Allah Ta'ala wants to see. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this month is the month of sabr, of patience. You need to see how much you can tolerate of worship. How many things you can do to yourself. Exhaust yourself with the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what they would do. He mentions his great grandmother, an elderly lady. He says, once my grandfather, he was performing Taraweeh Salah. My great grandmother was behind him. In the first rakat, he recited the entire Quran except for Surah An-Nas. In the second rakat, he recited Surah An-Nas. And then he finished and he looked back at his mom and he said, Mom, I've done two rakats, you go do the other 18. As a joke. Well, he said she was an old lady in the entire two rakats where the whole Quran was recited. She was standing up and she was performing salah and she was happy. This was there, you know, they wanted the hardship. So Shaykh Zakaria's father, Mawlana Yahya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, people would call my father, Shaykh, come to our masjid and we want you to do khatam in 2 days, in 3 days, in 1 day. So he would go, he'd happily, wherever people would call him, he wouldn't stay in one place, he'd go. People would call him to their houses, Shaykh, come to our house, we want you to do khatam in Tarawih in 2 days, he'd go. So he mentions that once, Mawlana Ashiq Elias mentions, we call him to Meerut. Meerut is a place in India. He said he got off the train, and another quality of this Mawlana Yahya Sahib is an amazing. SubhanAllah, when you read these people's lives, you just do dua, Allah Ta'ala make us like these people. We didn't see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we saw our pious elders. They saw their pious elders and teachers and scholars. And this is a connection, a spiritual, beautiful golden chain till the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says Mawlana Yahya, his father, would always be in the state of wudu. He would never be without wudu. Anytime his wudu would break, straight away he'd refresh it. This is the sunnah. We do wudu for namaz, and then our wudu breaks and we go for hours without wudu. In those hours we do many, many wrong things. We're not in the state of wudu, we don't feel. When a person is in the state of wudu, this is a first defense, a first shield against shaitan, against the influences of shaitan. The pious people would always stay in the state of wudu. Hasan Basri Murna, I remember the spiritual retreat we had, and Murna was reading from Aqwalu Salaf, Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. And he mentioned that Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, one night he broke his wudu he woke up 70 times. Every time he woke up, he would do a fresh wudu and go back to sleep. They were so particular. If I die, I want to be in the state of wudu. So he mentions my father would always be in the state of wudu. He got off the train at Meerut, an Indian train journey, subhanAllah, Pakistani train journeys, think about it. 4 hours, 5 hours of being rattled around in a cage, in a box. So he gets off, he's straight to the masjid, straight on the musalla, Allahu Akbar, 10 paras. 10 paras. Said he'd never needed to look at the Quran, didn't even need to do a fresh wudu because he was always in the state of the straight 10 paras. In 3 days, he finished his khatam back home. He said once he went into a masjid, the Imam Sahib, he was on the 14th juz. The 14th day, 14th juz. And the Imam Sahib was making so many mistakes in the first 4 rakats, so many mistakes. So what happened was, on the 4th rakat, after the 4th rakat finished, Imam Sahib turned around and he saw Mawlana Yahya. He said, Mawlana Yahya Sahib, please can you lead? He was feeling a bit guilty, I'm making so many mistakes. Please can you lead? Mawlana Yahya Sahib went forward. He had 16 rakats, guess what he did? Each rakat, one juz of the Quran. So it's the 14th day, people were expecting finish the 14th para and go home. Each rakat, one juz of the Quran, he finished the khatam of the Quran and the people went home. He just continued reading. They didn't bother, you know, continue reading. And he just, you know, not very fast, but not very slow as well. Just at a moderate pace, just continue reading. All day long, all night long. And that's why when people become hafiz of the Quran, they do this dua, وَرْزُقْنِي تِلَاوَتَهُ آنَا اللَّيْلِ وَآنَا النَّهَارِ. Oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to recite the Quran all throughout the day and all throughout the night. This is what these people would do. All throughout the day and night, their mouth would not stop. Constant. Our Hufaz say, why does my hifz become weak? Why does my door become weak? Because we only give a small amount of time for hifz. For door, half an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, how are you going to retain your... Look at the way the pious people used to retain their Quran. Their tongue would not stop, constantly. Even if it means you do half a juz, read that half a juz 10 times in that day. Why can you not do it when you're walking around, going from here to there, walking from here to there? Continue reading. Your Quran will become solid. Quran will become strong. And inshallah, you will take this with you into the akhirah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding. Subhanallah wa hamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Mm-hmm.